This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings once again, my friends, and welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We are very grateful and appreciative that you tune in each week because you have many alternatives. And when you tune into the Armor of God, we carry the responsibility of sharing with you nuggets from the Word of God. Today's program, really, I have a desire to get you to do something. But I want to address it from the angle of, well, I don't think I'm worthy of God's love and God's care and God's attention. That's fair. I mean, some of us, in analyzing our lives, would make such a conclusion because we have done some rather nefarious things, things we don't want anyone else to know about. But if there is a God, and if He is the Creator, He's supposed to be aware of everything about us as human beings. There is a passage in the Scriptures that I want to spotlight today and draw from it the reality that God never finds you so low that He cannot reach you, that He cannot intervene in your life, that He cannot transform you. And in the title of today's program, entitled Crossing the Jordan, you will gain a glimpse and an understanding and an appreciation that the love of God can reach you where you are. For instance, there's a character in the second chapter of this awesome book of Joshua. Her name is Rahab. And here's how she's described. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went, and they came into an harlot's house." That's the old King James words. But if I were really rambunctious, I probably would use the common term on the streets, but I'll just say she was a prostitute. I'll put it to you that way. And that's not a rather glowing description of a person that God is going to allow His people to deal with, the two spies. And He eventually is going to deal with this woman. And it goes on to describe her as this, in this way. It says, "Her name was Rahab, and they," the two spies, "lodged there." Now, I want to come back to that in a moment. But right now, I want to let you know about what we're offering in today's program, because by letting you know that, I believe that you're going to, well, be inspired, be encouraged to send for the free material. First of all, when we're dealing with change in our lives, we can use an old English word called repentance. And we have a booklet entitled 10 Facts About Repentance that you might want to receive. In addition to that, I believe that you should also get the sermon especially prepared entitled Crossing the Jordan. It will be a magnification or an enlargement of this presentation today in the telecast, because I can't cover in about 25 minutes or so everything you should know about this subject. So if you call, if you write, if you hit us up on our email location, you can receive these items absolutely free. No charge to you, no inquiry, no request for money or anything like that. You can get both the booklet on repentance, 10 things you should know about repentance, and the sermon, live sermon that I have presented entitled Crossing the Jordan. They can be yours when you dial toll-free 1-888-578-8791 or hit us up on our website at www.cgi.org. We'll be waiting and standing by to receive your call. As we go through this particular presentation today, I find it so fascinating that in the very first chapter of the book of Joshua, Joshua, that's an interesting name. Actually, in Hebrew, it is Yeshua. Yes, just like that Yeshua, the one we call Jesus Christ. Jesus is a pronunciation Joshua is a pronunciation. Yeshua is a pronunciation. Jesus is a pronunciation. Jesus is a pronunciation. I mean, there are all kinds of ways to pronounce the name. But what the name means, Savior, is quite interesting. And Joshua, the son of Nun, that is N-U-N, not N-O-N-E, but the son of Nun was a type of Jesus Christ. And he is told some things here in the very first chapter of Joshua that are quite interesting. It says, now after the death of Moses, this is chapter 1 and verse 1, the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord, Yahweh, spake unto Joshua, or Yeshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, his assistant, and this is what the Lord said to him, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan. Remember the historical occasion when the children of Israel had to go over a body of water called the Red Sea? In the New Testament, Paul writes to the church at Corinth and says, you know, that was sort of like a baptism. They were all baptized in the wilderness. On their journey through the Red Sea, when the water stood up on both sides and they went through dry shod, it was a type of baptism. In essence, it was a type of them having to repent of old ways and move into a new way of life. Well, they were unsuccessful, that first generation that came out of Egypt. They were unsuccessful to the extent that God himself ordered that they all die in the wilderness and only their children and their children's children would proceed into the land promised to them, promised anciently to their father Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Quite interesting. And so now they stand at the precipice of going into this land of promise. And Moses, Moses' servant, Joshua, is told, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I did give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place your soul of your foot touches, that you tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses. It describes the territory, includes the river Euphrates, which you know is in Iraq today. But he describes this whole territory that it goes all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. The land we call Palestine today was given anciently to a people on the promises that God made, and he was going to fulfill it. But in the midst of his fulfillment, he is dealing with imperfect people. I just pause there for a moment to ask you to consider your life, like I frequently have to do with my life and all of those who present on the armor of God. We're not superhuman. We're not so spectacular that sin has never visited our lives, that we don't have a familiarity with it. We sit high and look low and we are so significant. No. No, we're challenged just as you are challenged. And as you sit where you view this program, as you listen to this program, perhaps online, however you are ascertaining it, my suggestion to you is that you can cross the Jordan. That is, you can enter into a relationship with Almighty God and he will take you to a place that you've never been. He can transform your life in such a way, even though you may feel you are at your lowest. For instance, this woman, Rahab, described in your Bible, she's going to come in contact with the children of Israel, see, because the soldiers, the two spies that Joshua was going to send in to look over the land where Jericho exists. You know the song, the story about Joshua fit the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. It's a wonderful old ancient spiritual, but it describes a circumstance. But prior to the walls come tumbling down, we are introduced to a woman named Rahab. How low could Rahab be? Well, if you read the description of her here in this chapter, when these men come in to the land, she's befriended by them, and why they would go to a brothel as the first stop in their visit to the land, I have no idea. I mean, you just speculate about that all you want to, and you probably will come up with some interesting deal. Well, they wind up there, and they are housed. They are provided for. And then some people in the land find out that they are hiding out there, and And you know, this woman's reputation was such that even the king knew where these men were. And so they sent soldiers. The king sent soldiers to this land, or to this woman's house, to ascertain, well, now, are these guys in here? And she says to the king a very interesting thing. She says, oh, they were here, but they've gone now. Before the gates of the city were closed, they've moved out. If you hurry up, you might catch them. In other words, she bore false witness. She didn't quite tell the truth in order to save the lives of these two men whom she recognized as emissaries of Almighty God. She's a prostitute and she's a liar. Can God you do something with a person like that? Have you ever lied in your life? Have you ever done something so odious and so nefarious that you think that you cannot be reached by Almighty God, that He cannot transform your life? I hope that you can gain some inspiration from this woman, because she says some interesting things as she negotiates with the men. After the soldiers leave, after they leave out of the city, she goes up on the roof later in this chapter. She says in verse 10, "For we have heard how Yahweh, the Lord, dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites." They were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. We've heard about it. The word is out about you guys. "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord Yahweh, your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Do you hear this confession that this prostitute is making? This woman who twisted the truth to save the lives of two men who had been sent as emissaries by Joshua to spy out the land. Are you getting a picture here of a woman who has some issues in her life? If you read on further, I'm astounded by some other facts that are revealed. She says in verse 13, "And that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters." Well, there are quite a few of them living in this house. But a question crossed my mind. You see, I'm a father of two daughters and a son, and I have a stepdaughter. So there are three daughters in my life and granddaughters also. I've got two of them and another one on the way. And I got to thinking, would I permit my daughter to engage in a lifestyle of earning money to save the family or to preserve the family? Well, that's what was going on. The father is here. The brothers may have been younger, but still, I mean, think about the circumstances of this particular woman and then review your lives. See, I know that some of you who watch this program are not erudite. Some of you who watch this program have not lived at the high places of life. You don't have the educational tools. That is, you haven't gone to college. You haven't studied at the feet of great significant teachers and all that kind of thing. You're just living life. You're just going through life. You're just trying to get from day to day. And as a result of it, you may have engaged in certain activity for which you may be ashamed. And I suspect there was a certain amount of that in the life of Rahab, as she was concerned enough to make a confession and to say that the God we heard about that brought you through the Red Sea, that cause you to triumph over Egypt and to destroy those two kings on the other side of the Jordan, that God is the God of heaven and earth. Sounds like repentance to me. It sounds like a recognition to me, and that she was in a needful state of being. My friends, are you in a needful state today? Is there something you require of God? Do you want Him to lead you out of the wilderness into a promised place? Because one of the things that you're going to confront, that I have had to confront in my life, is the intersection of faith and sight. You see, sometimes God tells us to do things and we are reluctant to do them, or He reveals things to us or guides us towards a direction and we refuse to go because of the things we see versus the things that God says. Because the things that God says to us that lead to repentance require us to operate on faith. And that is a difficult thing to do when you see all kinds of things around you. Perhaps pretty things, things you like to have, things you like to wear, places you like to go, materials you like to acquire. And by any means necessary, you go out and acquire them, which means stealing credit cards from people, breaking into people's property, that kind of thing. I know some of you are saying, oh, well, that was in my youth. You know, I don't do that kind of thing anymore. I may live at a very nice address now from selling drugs and stuff, but I stopped doing that now. Or maybe I ripped a few people off in some business deals, you know. Perhaps I'm one of those bankers that you read about who make loans available to people, and when they can't pay, we not only get the money we already got from them, but we also get the property back, and we go through the process again. You know, unjust weights and measures, those kinds of things that we don't like to talk about. But if you find yourself in a situation like Rahab, I suggest to you that there's an answer for you. You can cross the Jordan. Well, in her case, see, she was already living on the other side of the Jordan, and the destruction of those walls that surrounded Jericho was a magnificent display of the power of God, where God tells Joshua, this is after the two men come back and give their report, they tell them everything. They tell them about the harlot. They tell about the prostitute. They tell about the promise they made. They tell about how the king came after them. Tells them all of that. And Joshua says to them, after they have gone into the land, God gives him a command to walk around Jericho with the priests with seven trumpets, the Ark of the Covenant, the men of war, and the people marching around the walls of Jericho for 6 days, once a day, without uttering a word, without uttering a sound. But on the seventh day, they were to walk around Jericho for 7 times. And then at the end, the trumpets were to sound, and a shout was to come up from the people. And the Bible says that the walls came tumbling down, except for a little portion of the wall where a woman named Rahab the harlot lived. Let's check that out in chapter 6. This is Joshua, the 6th chapter. I'm going to skip past the description I've already given you about how the walls came down and the marching around the wall, but here's what Joshua says to the two young men. Here in chapter 6 and verse 22 it says, but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she has as you swore unto her. Here is this prostitute. Here is this fabricator, to make it kind and nice, or little white lie, as Forrest Gump's mother told him he could do when he simply would hold the paddle and say, well, you know, when I was in China playing table tennis, you know, I use my little Flexolite paddle and so forth. She says, just a little white lie, $25,000 worth. So we all have those moments when our wives ask us, does this dress make me look fat? You know, if you answer incorrectly that question, you might have a difficulty. So we fudge a little bit and say, oh, you look just fine, honey, when it looks like she's a balloon. But, you know, that's a whole nother story. But it does bring us to the issue of how we sometimes shade the truth. She lied. The men were up on the roof of her house. But as a result of that, look at what God does in this situation. In verse 23, it says, the young men that were spies went in, brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindreds and left them without the camp of Israel. They burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel even unto this day because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. You know, there are some redeeming qualities in the lowest people in life. How low do you feel? Do you think that you are unreachable by Almighty God because you've done some things in your life that you just can't get over, and you recognize that they were so bad that who could ever forgive you? Here's this woman named Rahab, but there's something else about her that is so significant. It's over in the New Testament, just to give you an idea of what God can do. Over in Matthew, the very first chapter, we find a startling thing and the mention again of this woman named Rahab. And I think you're going to find some encouragement if you're in a state of your life, if you're a juncture of your life where you feel all hope is lost. I've been so bad. I've murdered some people. I have robbed some people. I have been disrespectful and unkind to my parents. I've just been a horrible person. I've been through a series of divorces. I'm just at the lowest ebb of my life. My friends, here's what God can do. Here's the genealogy of Jesus Christ. I'll start here in verse 5 because that's a very interesting little statement. This is Genesis 1 and verse 5. It says, "And Salmon beget Boaz of Rahab." Now, if you have the King James Bible, it has a C in there. Don't be confused by the C. It's pronounced Rahab. Wait a minute. You mean she became a part of the nation of Israel? This Jerichoite woman, Jerichoite, she was a pagan. They lived such a horrible life that God gave the order, a command to destroy men, women, children, and beasts. So nefarious were their lives. And out of it, this extract of a prostitute and a woman who fudged the truth. She winds up marrying an Israelite named Salmon. Well, they produce a child named Boaz. We all know about Boaz, don't we? And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Ruth, you mean the Midianite woman that was living over there with her mother-in-law, Naomi. They come to an agreement and decide to go back and dwell among the land, and she eventually marries the son of Rahab. Oh, it goes on further than that. I mean, this is more significant. And Obed beget Jesse. Oh, Jesse, I've heard about Jesse, yes. And Jesse beget David. David the king, his great-grandmother, or great-great-grandmother, or something like that, was a prostitute. Oh, it gets even better, my friends, when you consider the magnitude of Almighty God and what he can do. Because this is the genealogy. Let me just turn to the end of it and see who is the genealogy of, because that's important. It says in verse 17, "So all the generations from Abraham to David," and we know David is from the lineage of Rahab, "are 14 generations, and from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ, the anointed one, are 14 generations. Are you telling me, you might be saying, that Jesus Christ, great, 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 great grandmother, whatever that might be, was a former prostitute? That's exactly what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that to indicate to you that God is not a respecter of persons on the basis of our standing or how we see ourselves. In fact, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if God can reach down into Jericho, that hellhole, and bring out a woman, even though she didn't quite tell the truth about the spies, to preserve their lives, situational ethics, perhaps. But the fact of the matter is that God honored her repentance, honored her acknowledgement of him as creator, allowed her and made provision for her to come into the nation of Israel, marrying Salmon, and the seed that is born as a result is unbelievable. Jesus Christ himself comes through that line. There's so much more in that particular scenario that I like to tell you about, but I'll let it go for now. I want you to get the free material that we're offering in today's program. It's so vital that you get it. To learn about repentance, number one, and also receive the sermon entitled Crossing the Jordan, where I go into much more detail about how we in our lives can come to a place of repentance, come to the place of the blood covering of Jesus Christ, and our lives can literally be transformed from what we used to be to what God wants and requires of us. Would you like to make that step, friends? I hope you do, because the Bible is all about transformation. The Bible is all about coming from a desert place. The Bible is all about wandering in through the course of our lives through the wilderness experience. And we can come to a place where we must cross over into a place of promise. Crossing over to a place of promise requires faith, my friends. You see, when they crossed the Jordan, The priest had to go and stand in the water on faith. It was at the season of the year when the shores would overflow and it was a flooding condition and all of that. They had to go and stand in the in that water on faith so that the water would dry up and the children of Israel could walk over to Jericho dry shod. And in accomplishing that, they are thrust into a relationship with a fallen woman, a woman who distinguished herself by the magnitude and the magnanimity of Almighty God. Friends, I hope that you will respond to this telecast today. Stay tuned and listen to this presentation by my colleague here on the Armor of God.
Boy, what a story. Jesus Christ, the seed of a prostitute, 42 generations removed. Bronson made a good point by virtue of this illustration, though, and that was the whole point of it, that no matter what, God's love can touch you wherever you are. That's right, my friends. Regardless of what you've done, no matter how bad it is, God can forgive and reconcile you back to Him, and you have a means by which you can obtain the promised land. Now, granted, the Old Testament is full of these illustrations, and as Bronson pointed out, the illustration that underlines these is the transformation expectation. And that is very synonymous with a very word, similar word that you're very familiar with, a word that is synonymous with transformation that we know of as conversion. God expects us to convert. He expects us to transform and to be different than what we were when we originally came to understand that the seed is Jesus the Christ. Paul made it very clear that by virtue of Christ in us, that is the key. That is the ingredient by which we can change and manifest the difference and the transformation in our lives. Jesus mentioned to Thomas, "You know, Thomas, you believe because you see. I say, blessed are those who can believe without seeing," because you see, faith is the key that underlines this walk with Christ. Won't you let us help you to better understand that faith? Dial now 888-578-8791 and ask for the two offers that we're providing on this telecast. 10 facts you should know about repentance and a one-hour presentation by Mr. Bronson James himself. It's time to cross the Jordan. Both of these offers are free for the asking. All you've got to do is dial that number, 888-578-8791. And don't forget about our website there, my friends, at www.cgi.org. This is Bill Watson reminding all of you, as we always do on this telecast, that you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.